like to introduce our speaker today, Stan Guthrie. Stan is an editor at large for Christianity Today magazine and author of Missions in the Third Millennium. Stan has also co-authored two books, Nurturing the Nations and Discipling Nations. Stan has appeared on National Public Radio's Tell Me More, WGN's Milt Rosenberg program, and many other shows. An experienced podcaster and inspirational speaker, he has just finished a book about Jesus for Baker Books, which will be published in 2010. Would you please join me in welcoming Stan Guthrie? Stan?
I thought I would take my time getting up here so the applause could go on a little longer. Just a note to tell you how much I appreciate Tyndale House Publishers. My roots don't go back way deeply, but I do have some good friends here, Carol LaRue and Mavis Sanders, Todd Starowitz. I like to call myself a friend of Jerry Jenkins too, so my friendships reach pretty high at times. But anyway, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure. And the title of my talk today is The Answer for Anxiety. And if any of you know my own personal story, I was laid off just about exactly 2 months ago. So I've been working through this issue in a very personal way, and here to tell you that there is an answer, and it's real, and we don't have to live in our anxiety and let it control us. But let me tell you first off that I must confess that whether for reasons of history, genetics, or choice, anxiety is my natural default mode. Much as I try to project an image of quiet confidence, a lot of my inner life has been characterized by fear. Sometimes I struggle with insomnia. I have what I feel is a perfectly rational fear of heights. And ironically, I even get anxious at times preparing a talk about anxiety. And I suspect I'm not really all that different from most Americans, most people. The National Institute of Mental Health says that 40 million American adults experience anxiety disorders. We worry about our weight, about our cholesterol and triglycerides, about whether we will save enough for retirement. Does anyone remember that commercial from a few years ago where the grown son tells his aging parents to get back out into the full-time workforce with the words, "Get out there and make me proud"? That really plays on our anxiety, doesn't it? Anxiety, according to one definition, is a state of uneasiness and distress about future uncertainties. It's apprehension and worry. It suggests not an objective reality of danger, but feelings of fear and concern detached from objective sources, feeding themselves, as it were. A lot of times, FDR's words of comfort during the Great Depression ring true. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The NIMH has a name for our affliction, generalized anxiety disorder. The malady is characterized by chronic anxiety, exaggerated worry and tension, even when there is little or nothing to provoke it. Those with GAD can't seem to shake their concerns. Their worries are accompanied by physical symptoms, especially fatigue, headaches, muscle tension, muscle aches, difficulty swallowing, trembling, twitching, irritability, sweating, and hot flashes. A quick Google search turns up 190 million hits for anxiety and another 63 million for worry. Now, does that describe any of us? Who doesn't it describe at one time or another? Despite all our blessings and against our better judgment, we find it nearly impossible to obey Jesus' command to not be anxious for tomorrow. But there is hope that we can overcome our anxiety. I know because I've begun to see it unfold in my own imperfect life. But let me warn you, I can't deny the reality of things that keep us up at night. Some of our fears are perfectly rational. I lost my job in the recession of 2009, after all. The only guarantee Christians have in this life is that we will experience problems. I'm reminded of the tagline from a poster when I was in junior high: just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. The truth is, sometimes they are out to get us, aren't they? Suffering is real. The reason Jesus commanded us to love our enemies is that he recognized that at times we will have enemies.